KSCU Santa Clara presents. Robots Attack. Movies. TV. Video games. Comic books. Tech stuff. News. Music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
All right, welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb!
Jen!
And Jason.
That's right.
Right on.
We are here to rock your geek world and Woo. All that jazz. So, lady and gentlemen, how have you all been?
Been good. Been busy. Keeping on, keeping on.
Nice.
They asked me if I wanted to keep working for another 2 weeks, so hey, I get more money. And I made the very first step towards actually moving in that I, shipped off a box of my stuff over to Austin.
Oh, okay.
There you go. It's officially starting right now.
Hopefully stuff
so
you don't
there's
need.
Like a vacant lot someplace that's just piling up all of your loot.
It's a room, but yes.
Hopefully you don't need any of that stuff until you get there, right?
Yeah, sure. It's mostly books and stuff.
Oh, okay. Like, no,
yeah,
I
who needs to read
that? Oh.
And sweatshirts, because I'm not going to be wearing those anytime soon for the next few months.
Heck, you might as well just throw them away.
Hey, hey. So how have you been, Jason?
I don't know.
Who am I supposed to ask?
I guess I've been doing pretty good.
That's a pretty good falsetto there, right there.
I've been practicing.
I can tell.
Yeah. We can tell here at Robots Attacking him. Sure the audience can as well. In fact, if the audience wants to tell us that they can tell that you have been practicing, how can they do that, Caleb?
How can you do that? You can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack. That's two words. And you can hit us up on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me, all one word. Or you can get us on email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if all of that's just a little bit too much to remember all at once, just remember robotsattack.me. That has links to everything I've talked about right before this under the button called Interact. You also have archived episodes of our shows and all that other good stuff.
That is right. Okay, it's going to be a great show this week. Jen has provided us with the topic, which she will now paraphrase for us all.
Yes. So we do a lot of talk about multiplayer. So I thought we would spice it up and we would say probably what our top three favorite primarily single player games have been so far.
Right on.
And we're keeping it relatively recent. What did I say, like the next 5 years, the previous 5 years or so?
Mm-hmm, I think that's what you said.
I don't know. Yeah. You sent the email.
Yeah, because then obviously it would be way too easy to pick something from your NES days because, you know, everything was single player.
What?
Well, no, Contra was two player, but you had to be all on the same machine.
Right.
Some co-op action there. And mm-hmm. then in our game discussion, we'll be discussing the recently dropped State of Decay and last week's game Castle Storm. And, of course, we will have Caleb's Corner.
Yes, it'll be a very short one about the patent trolls.
Nice. And, of course, we'll bring you plenty of geek news.
Geek goodery.
Yes. So,
geeky goodery. Wait, you know what I mean.
Exactly. So let's get into the new releases and get this thing going. We have in the theater a movie called Dirty Wars.
Dirty.
After that, we have Finding Joy.
Oh.
Hello, Herman. Lost and Found in Armenia.
Hmm.
This Josh Whedon film called Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh.
All over the Twitterverse.
Yeah.
Mostly thanks to Fillion. But
details, details.
Yeah.
I think he only tweeted like 50 times in the last 2 days about it.
We also have the internship. We have The Purge. And to round us out, Wish You Were Here.
Aww.
Alrighty. So if the theater isn't grabbing you, try our latest round of DVD and Blu-ray releases. 12 rounds, 2, Reloaded.
Wait, 12 rounds? Wait, all I'm right. confused. Is that 24?
No, it's 12 rounds, 2, Reloaded.
Okay, sure.
A Good Day to Die Hard.
Don't try and apply your math to this.
I take it back.
Also on Blu-ray and DVD, Adventure Time, Seasons 1 and 2 are on Blu-ray and DVD.
What does that add up to you?
Appleseed 13, the complete series on Blu-ray and DVD.
Yes.
Bob Ross, the Happy Painter.
Yay.
On DVD.
Boo. I mean,
it's a documentary about him, obviously. The Mad Max trilogy is on Blu-ray.
Oh, sweet.
Nice.
And Warm Bodies dropped onto Blu-ray and DVD as well.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right, now let's move on to some video games. State of Decay, as was mentioned. Remember Me. We have Gunpoint. Hoops Manager. Class of Heroes 2. Skies. Jagged Alliance Online. Spaceman Sparkles Moon Edition.
Ooh. Wait, what?
Some DLC for Crisis 3, The Lost Island. Cardboard Castle, and that'll wrap it up.
All right. In comic bookdom from DC, Detective Comics number 21 looking pretty good. Green Lantern number 21 also. This is a writer swap from Geoff Johns to Robert Venditti. Daredevil, Dark Knights number 1. Lee Weeks is both writer and artist. Thor, the Dark World preview is also coming out this week.
Thor!
Ferrist number 16. Return of Prince Charming. It's actually part 2, so 15 is also going to be necessary to complete this story. Anyways, Pacific Rim, Tales from Year Zero, prelude to the summer film as well.
Okay.
Huh. Kick-Ass, Volume 3, number 1.
What's your language? No.
It's the title, I'm sorry. Kick Donkey, number 1.
Poor donkey.
Nice. But yes, poor donkey.
Yes. And lastly, Abe Sapien, Dark and Terrible, number 3.
Whoa.
Yes.
Alrighty. Well, that wraps up the new releases. We're going to take a music break and then come back with the news. Let's tease the folks with some news.
They thought they saw a rat on Mars.
Whoa.
Cool.
I'm still thrown off by that. Okay. Basically a new tech that's trying to make the best of the heat in the cold and the cold in the heat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Any more than that, I'd completely spoil it.
Yeah.
So.
All right,
there you go, then.
And, of course, we'll wrap up the news with...
Today in History!
Today in History! Hooray! All righty, let's get to that music break. We are Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
News.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one only Geek Central talk show in KSCU Santa Clara. We are now in the news.
The news.
The news.
Let's rock news. The people with some news.
Well, let's start with news of the strange, question mark. Curiosity took a picture of something that people thought was a rat on Mars. Unfortunately.
It was actually a cat. Because the Curiosity...
I see what you did there. No, unfortunately, in this case, it was like the famous face on Mars. It was a
rock.
It was a rock. It was a
rock.
An optical illusion. A phenomenon known. Where did that word go? But anyways, it's a a thing in psychology where we tend to look for things that we recognize out in the world where they don't exist. Like we see faces on random structures.
In other people's faces.
In other people's faces sometimes, sure. Or like, you know...
texture in walls. I used to do that when I was a kid.
Yeah, things like that.
I'm staring at the ceiling right now.
Like that Billy Idol song, Eyes Without a Face, or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I'm sure that would be very much like it. So it's cool that it's a cool picture, but it's unfortunately not our actual
space
thing.
Space rats!
Not space rats yet.
So yeah, tell us about the faces that you're seeing in the walls right now.
Yeah.
And to entertain you while you're doing that, a company in Japan called Sumitomo Chemical has developed a new way to treat windows to make it so in the winter it allows all of the heat to go straight through the window, and in the summer it bounces the heat right off of it.
Huh.
Yeah, it's kind of a neat effect. They basically create a weird little split in the window that ends up bouncing light off when it's at the correct angle. And so since the sun is hitting windows at a slightly different angle during summer than it is during winter,
okay,
it ends up creating like a prism effect where it'll either bounce it back or let it through.
That's awesome. I was imagining that you had to like set it, you know, oh, it's summer, and then you have to tilt them. But wow, if it's already sort of taken that into account during installation, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's kind of slick.
Nice.
And it's very green. You'll need less energy to heat and cool your house in the
yes.
summer and winter time.
Yep.
Even better.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, store up those rocks and build those glass houses.
All right. So from rats not being on Mars to being green with windows and whatnot, we now go to Archie Comics gets a movie.
Hey.
What?
Wait, what?
Archie Comics is gearing up to go live action with a new movie from Warner Brothers.
Live
Deadline.
Action.
Deadline reports that Jason Moore, Pitch Perfect from Pitch Perfect, will direct a script from Roberto Aguirre Sacasa. He apparently did Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, and Glee. Worked on those. Will be based on the famed comics featuring Archie, Jughead, Betty, and Veronica. The site adds that earlier this year, Sacasa signed on to write a new line of Archie comics that, weirdly enough, introduces zombies into that wholesome world. This doesn't mean that zombies will actually be featured in the live-action movie, though Deadline speculates that the Undead could somehow show up in the film. So, yeah, there you have it. If you've been waiting years and years, decades, centuries, probably not centuries, but for an Archie comic movie, live-action, you're getting one from Warner Brothers.
Yeah, the only thing I associate Archie Comics with is the disappointment when the little, Disney comic books that they used to put out in grocery stores.
Oh.
It would be, like, an off-and-on thing. It would do, like, DuckTales and then Archie Comics. Oh. And I'd always be like, Archie Comics. Why?
DuckTales.
I need my DuckTales fix.
Woo-hoo.
All right. So for those of you listening out there, we could use your help, because if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving forever and foster homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy, so come join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
Right
nice.
On.
And find your DuckTales there.
So, we have zombie comics, and we have hippie glass.
Hippie glass, I love
it. I liked my way better.
Oh, come on, fine. So, earth-friendly things continue.
This isn't Santa Cruz, come on.
Okay, fair enough. Earth friendly. How
there
about
you
that?
Go.
So,
following
that trend and preserving the Earth, we have better LED lights. Now, if you've picked up an LED flashlight in the last little while, you've probably noticed that they are very bright, but they tend to have a very blue cast to their light.
Mm.
Unless they're yellow or orange.
Unless they're yellow or orange, but in that case, you already have a fixed color. It's not the natural light of the sun, no matter how you slice it. That's how they go.
So if you're looking for an LED light and you happen to be Superman, what type of LED light do you need?
Well, you're going to have to wait just a little bit longer, but the research is showing that lab-grown crystals that make up the framework of an LED, the little glass part at the end, will actually be able to better create natural sunlight light, color spectrum light with the thing. So we can have better light, more natural light, and more power efficient light in the reasonably near future.
And finally get rid of those stupid blue headlights that keep blinding everybody.
Mm-hmm, possibly. Yeah,
not LEDs, but we could do that too.
Yeah, the trick to these to this new LED crystal is a special nano structure inside the crystal so that it will create a more it'll affect the light on as it is being created, so it has a more natural feel. And with this technology, they could actually expand the range of light that an LED could produce. So you could possibly have LEDs that produce light that is beyond visible light spectrum and IR and stuff like that. And it'd be, you know, for science and things like that.
For science!
Huh.
So, yeah, it has all sorts of interesting potentials.
Nice.
Okay, so I mentioned the Superman thing earlier because I wanted this segue right here.
Ooh, okay. Nice. All right.
Make children into superheroes.
Okay, so put them in costumes and take them to con?
Well, that's good too. Okay. But
Lex Luthor kind of did that in the Justice
League. That's true.
I can't remember. I think it was Unlimited series. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to pretend like I totally
kids,
knew about
though.
That.
They weren't, they weren't technically kids, but they were younger people. Mm-hmm. I think they were in their 20s or something. Yeah. So.
Well, okay. This next part is probably going to make it sound awkward and completely unrelated, but
okay.
Cancer is pretty horrible, right? And when kids get it, that's like
extra
a step
horrible.
Above.
Yeah, yeah.
So some doctors in Brazil...
Not many likes on the cancer page.
Right.
Yeah. On Facebook.
And there probably should be a little note next to the like. Every like equals 10 dislikes or something like that. And then it would probably get... But even then, I'm probably not. Anyway. But doctors in Brazil... who are smart and clever and nice to children, they realized that if they repackage all of the different meds that children have to go through when they're doing all of the stuff for cancer and make it into a superhero pack, it actually makes the kids much less afraid of all of these really intimidating and actually pretty nasty a lot of times drugs. And so it ends up softening the blow and even makes them feel like they're building up something and like it's a positive thing instead of being kind of down about it.
Huh. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I think I saw that on Twitter somewhere. It was pretty cool.
Very cool.
I think
it's pretty cool.
I think that should have a lot of likes.
Okay. I'm going to like it right now.
There you go.
Because it has 1,800 likes on it.
Nice.
Which is not enough.
No. And there's always room for one more.
And sort of relating to that, all the stories we talk about, we throw links on our Facebook page. So if you want to go and read their entire articles, check them out, see pictures that usually accompany said articles we mention, you can go there and check them out.
That's a sore spot for me, unfortunately. I actually got my stuff up on the page ahead of time. Unfortunately, I don't have pictures at the moment. So, hopefully.
Well, but it has the link, so they can.
It's true.
They can go and check it out.
It's that much closer to what we're all trying to get to.
And that last story comes complete with video.
Ooh,
so yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, unfortunately, my story isn't like
segwayable.
Yeah, I guess. it's... No, I'm not even going to try. Okay, so like the two creators from you know the Modern Warfare that split off from
right, the Angry Kids.
Yeah, yeah. I'm blanking on the Infinity Ward. That's it. Yeah, yes. that split off started their own Respawn Entertainment. Well, apparently their game Titanfall got leaked a little bit early before E3. The game, it's their first game. It's going to be exclusive to Xbox One, 360, and PC. As I mentioned, it's called Titanfall. It's going to be multiplayer focused. It's going to use a lot of the cloud technology from the Xbox One.
Oh, nice.
Apparently, the 360 version is going to be developed by another studio. Let's see. It's...
So it'll be like a Disney game.
it's probably not going to be the one that they're hoping people play. I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine. But anyway, the description of the game, it's a first-person shooter built on the Source engine. Will launch in the spring of 2014. Players will become pilots controlling massive mechs called Titans, which can be piloted or programmed to follow along in battle. The game will use Microsoft's cloud services for dedicated servers, physics, and AI.
Okay, I'm on board so far.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, I already mentioned that's going to be an exclusive. Yeah, I know there was... I know they said they wanted to show a lot more, actually, at E3. I think, the game... What happened was the Game Informer, like, magazine app got leaked a little bit early in Google Play.
Oh, okay.
Oops. So, like, it's the cover of the magazine.
Uh-huh.
So we're like, oh, there's their new game. So yeah, and reading certain stuff, it sounded like you could run around and also, you know, it's not just mechs fighting mechs, like you run around and actually fight people too, but
having
mechs in it and stuff should be really, really cool. Especially, I mean, you figure those guys were responsible for creating a pretty awesome first-person shooter
relatively
game.
Successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be cool to see more at E3.
Yeah, and it's always interesting, too. It seems like the mech genre is always dominated by Japanese games and very cool games and everything, but an American twist on it is definitely cool to see, too.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know they mentioned, like, if you're not, you know, in a mech, if you're running around, you'll be able to, like, climb on top of the mechs and destroy their brains.
Oh, okay.
So,
sort of a little bit of
just like it, yeah.
Not Eco, but the other game that developer made. Anyways, go on. The Titans one where you had to. Anyway,
Clash.
No, I'll find it.
Remember the Titans with Denzel Washington?
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
I don't think anybody climbed up on people's brains or anything in that one, but
yeah, I don't think so either. But
Shadow of the Colossus, there we go.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that
going way back.
I guess that's moderately popular.
Dredge that one up a little bit, but anyways, I round it out with one last thing about a little bit of robot story, but it's a robot you might actually be using in your home, especially if you like to make things or build things.
Wait, what?
Yes. You may have heard the term CNC tossed around before. I probably used it here on the show. It stands for Computer Numeric Control. And what it is,
always wondered about that.
It's a very, very precise way of making cuts in materials.
Right.
Plastic, wood are the most common ones.
That's metal. The numbers part, right?
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go on.
But anyway, most of these machines are really expensive, even the quote-unquote home ones. So a company known as ShopBot is working on a new one called HandyBot, which uses a more regular standard router, one of those hand routers that you can get at the Home Depot, whatever, and then they put that into a rig that is computer-controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And so now you can, like, you know, do a really precise cut on a surface without necessarily having to, you know, pay thousands and thousands of dollars. Like it takes, you know, 5,000 and up machines down to 2,500 and below. Hopefully, that's where they're aiming to try and make it something that it was not an insignificant outlay of money, but it's not a outlandish outlay of money to put into your workshop.
Hmm. Yeah, it's kind of interesting too, and this is a little bit of sci-fi history, at least from the special effects side of things. The same technology back in its infancy, not CNC outright, but using a router as a CNC type of thing,
mm-hmm.
actually kind of got its genesis off of the Stargate movie.
Yeah. Its
scenery was crafted almost exclusively with a hand-built CNC machine that ran off of regular routers, which allowed them to whip out giant sets with all of the normal... I don't know if you guys remember that movie, but it had a really specific design to it, like big arcs cut through supposedly stone and whatnot.
Yes.
So it gave sort of an Egyptian feel, but it was definitely unique for that.
Oh, okay.
But that was all due to them just completely going for broke on that tech.
Huh.
Very, that's actually really interesting.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean...
Someone out there, I hate Stargate.
Right.
Although, when you say I flash to CNC Music Factory.
As did obviously. I. Even though I know completely what he was talking
yeah.
to.
Yeah. And the video.
Yeah.
The dancing.
Mm-hmm. And
mostly the dancing.
Yeah. It was a very popular part of that video.
Yeah.
So.
At least so I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with the Stargate movie.
No. Not that I know of, unless.
But bridging from Stargate history, where do we go next?
Today in history.
Yay!
Oh, you guys are wonderful. All right, so today in history, let's see. So I'm sure it was all over the internet, so I'm sure this is no surprise to most of you. 1984, today is Tetris's birthday.
Woo, Tetris.
Yes.
Nice.
Wait, what's that?
Tetris. Do 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 do. Yeah, you know.
Boop, ding, 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 ding.
He's got it.
Ding, 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 ding. Continue.
All right. Also, you know, you couldn't go today without mentioning it. Today is D-Day, the anniversary. Okay.
Little side note on that. Bethesda and whatever, I forget the other, they're making a new Wolfenstein game.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they released like a new trailer for it, and the game is all about like what if the Nazis won World War II.
Ah.
So it's like 1960s and showing off like all the different stuff. Mm-hmm. So there was sort of mentioned in the article, like, it's kind of weird that they released this trailer on D-Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go. Just
All right. 1933, going way back in the day. Today the first drive-in theater opened.
Whoa.
For business.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All right, and then 1971, The Ed Sullivan Show had its last episode today as well.
Hmm. Oh, did it say who was on it, or?
Really big shoe.
I do not know.
Kind of shoe. That guy keeps having shoes on his show.
All right, and then we're going to wrap it up. 1949. Wow, I didn't know this book was this old. George Orwell's 1984. The book 1984 was published. In 1949.
Okay.
Okay.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I had no idea that book was that old.
Yeah, wow.
So, yeah.
Impressive.
I'd like to think that he was off by a bit.
just a touch.
Yeah.
It makes sense, right? After a big, giant war, atrocities and whatnot, people had interesting views of what the world was going to end up like.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This is true.
And this is where we get Big Brother from, just so y'all remember.
Mm-hmm. Big Brother is watching.
You guys actually did read the book, right?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure.
No.
No?
No.
Yeah, I had to read it for high school.
Man. I had to read it three separate times at three separate high schools.
Oh, ouch.
Bummer.
Yeah, I think
you know it well then.
No, actually. And then I watched the movie twice at two of those high schools.
Oh.
Actually, have not seen the movie.
Mm. Me neither.
There was the accidental showing of the nude scene in it. So,
hey, there you go.
Could be worse.
Yeah, I think the only major book that I can think of that I had to read in school is like Catcher in the Rye, you know, of like the famous sort of books. You're like, here's the book that you read in SEC. So, Lord of the Rings, that was the other one. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, a lot of like big major ones. Like,
yeah, same here. I didn't read Lord of the Rings. You know, I read.
You mean Lord of the Flies?
Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies. You said Lord of the. Did you not say Lord of the Rings?
You said Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I meant Lord of the Flies. Sorry. Yeah. Ooh, okay. Yeah. They wouldn't like make us read Lord of the Rings. Not there's anything wrong with Lord of the Rings. It's good, but it's not.
It's horrible. it teaches people the wrong things.
Lord of the Flies is more
in like
line. Teaches you very good
stuff.
Things.
Make sure you have glasses if you get stuck on an island.
Mm-hmm.
But don't kill the person who has the glasses.
Yeah.
Because that's not cool.
Me and Caleb are safe.
I have the conch. It's my turn to talk.
Oh, the conch.
But me ass.
I always called it the conch.
Yeah, me too.
Most people did.
Anyway, I think that's going to wrap up our news.
Yes.
And we're going to take another music break and then come back with Caleb's Corner.
About patent trolls.
Ooh, patent trolls. So conches will not be featured?
No.
Okay.
No, not so much.
All right. Oh, well. Stick around anyway. I know you're probably out there depressed. There'll be no more conch talk. But it's cool. We got a really great rest of the show. So.
Meanwhile, next time on Conch Talk.
Yeah. I've got the conch. It's my turn. No, it's radio. People can't see the conch being passed around. All right. Anyway, you're listening to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. Let's take a music break and then come back with Caleb's Corner.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Yes, welcome back to Robots Attack. You have entered the section known as Caleb's Corner, where I get to opinionate about something, and it does not reflect necessarily the views of KSCU or Robots Attack. It is my own thoughts. In this case, I am bringing to light, or again bringing to light, something that I think is important.
The dark erotic minds of Caleb.
It's true. It's true. It's
not
subtle.
Quite where I was going
but
with
it's
that.
It's true.
But so
tell us about trolls.
Yeah. Well,
erotically.
Tell
so
us,
once there was a
tell
troll
us nice
under
and
a
slow.
Bridge. No.
What kind of bridge?
Oh, under a bridge, huh?
No, I'm
take us to the bridge.
In this particular
is it
case,
downtown?
No, it's not downtown. It's on the internets.
Did they draw some blood?
Of course it is.
Poor Caleb.
In case you haven't heard the term before, there is a phrase known as the patent troll. The legal term for that is non-practicing entity.
Mm.
What these people are is they have purchased the rights to a technology, the patent on a technology, and then most of them end up using it to try and leverage money out of small companies, large companies, just try to pull money out of companies by legal means, and it's largely considered a shady practice. It's not illegal, but it's not really ethical, so to speak.
Okay.
And it's kind of
why is it not ethical?
It's not ethical because it is abusing the system of the patent. The patent was intended to give an inventor a certain amount of protection on his invention for a period of time so that he could go off and invent something else.
And to make that money back that he spent investing in that invention.
Yes. Yeah. The patent was originally intended to last 7 years. During that 7 years, no one else could do the process that way. If you wanted to use this process, you had to pay a fee to the inventor of the process or the technology to make use of it.
You had to make an agreement with the inventor.
Yes. Now, if you also had an engineering team or an engineer or an engineering mind, you could make your own patent or create a reverse engineer the process or the technology and then make your own version of it, but you couldn't do it
That's okay, right?
Yeah, that is actually okay.
As long as it's not the exact same thing.
You just can't do it the exact same way. If you
can make something using ones and zeros instead of zeros and ones, then it's okay.
Well, it's not quite like that, but anyway, I digress. The main thing is that
I think it's completely different, but
keep talking, Caleb.
Specifically, there is a group that has raised their head about the idea of the podcast or sequentially released materials of an entertainment nature via a broadcast medium over the internet or something along those lines. That's not quite exactly the phrasing, but it's something like that. Okay. This is how patents are phrased. Anyway, someone has gotten a patent for which essentially covers the idea of the podcast, and they're trying to use it to shut down podcasting networks, small ones, large ones.
Wow.
Yeah. They're trying to exact, you know, several thousand dollars out of what is essentially what could essentially be one to two people with a Skype account and a call recorder and a computer. It's like, it's not and a website. Like all of that together probably costs them less than how much the non-practicing entity is trying to extract from them in terms of fees and royalties.
Do we know who this is that's trying to...
I believe, no, the this article here on the EFF does not exactly... I don't see the name of that group listed here, probably, so they don't get dinged for being slander. This is no possibility of slander. But anyway, the EFF, our friends at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, they do a lot of legal assistance for... emerging technologies or people that are working within technology and may find themselves on a potentially sticky legal situation.
So the EFF is like the BFF of technology.
Yeah. And
if it's emerging. Yeah. Only if it's emerging.
No, I mean, they help people out when they have legal trouble when it involves technologies. And okay. Usually they are most... oftenly on the side of a small innovator or company against a large one. Like, say, Microsoft wants to leverage something against a small independent developer.
A small mega conglomerate.
No.
No. Don't confuse things.
You could apply to the EFF and they would, you know, offer what assistance they could. Sometimes people, and also a lot of people donate to the EFF to further help them pay their legal fees, because, you know, these, they have to eat as well. They, you know, but anyway, they are working to help us preserve the art of podcasting, and they have a campaign to raise funds, crowdfunding, to further their mission to keep the internet open, to keep it free in terms of beer type of thing. Like, you know, it's not...
Wait, free beer? What?
It's not actually free, but it's like free speech, free, you know, the right to free access to information and things like that. Information wants to be free kind of ideas. So they're about helping us preserve these ideas on the internet, and these non-practicing entities, colloquially known as patent trolls, are not really helping with that. So we're using the legal system against the legal system, so to speak. So there you go. You can, if you feel led, there will be a link to the article where they have buttons about donating. Otherwise, just keep aware of this. There are people that are being jerks out there. So, and it may not affect you, but it may affect something that you enjoy, like Kevin Smith's podcast. Like, Kevin Smith might be able to absorb a certain amount of cost in generating his podcasts, but not everybody has his cachet or his influence. So, you know, there's that. It's not necessarily about everyone, but making it an even playing field. Yeah.
Nice. Alrighty, that's gonna wrap up Caleb's Corner. We're gonna take another music break, come back with game discussion time, where we're gonna discuss State of Decay and Castle Storm. All right, we are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Come join the fun at Save the Waves Coalition's annual fundraiser bash, Life is a Wave, Friday night, June 14th at 111 Mina Gallery in downtown San Francisco. Enjoy live music from Native Elements and Green Gorilla Lounge DJs and a spectacular auction while raising money for Save the Waves environmental programs. Buy tickets and get more info at www.savethewaves.org.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are in the game discussion portion of the show. We are now going to discuss Castle Storm.
Castle Storm!
Jen.
Yes.
Tell us all about Castle Storm.
Okay, so the first thing I did when I fired this thing up, I was like, it looks kind of like World of Warcraft.
Okay.
So visually, they kind of went for that, which is kind of cool. And so the game itself is pretty much a fantasy version of Angry Birds.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so the premise is that you have these two warring clans. You have the Vikings, Jason, and...
I'm only half Viking on my father's side.
So these two warring kingdoms, and basically in the tutorial you come off as, you know, this dashing young warrior, and he's like, yeah, I totally got this. So it kind of zooms out and you're on top of your what do you call those places and castles,
turrets?
Yeah, turrets.
Crenellations.
I don't know what that word means.
Oh.
So you're up there.
Crustaceans.
And it starts off with like three enemy guys just slowly marching towards your castle. And then you use the left stick, because I was playing on Xbox. And it will give you a little arc of your trajectory.
Okay.
And then you...
Later we'll send video of Jen's hand movement.
I'm very part Italian, I'm sorry. But yeah, so, you know, so you get the little trajectory line so you can see where the thing's going to go. So then it was just like, okay, what else is this going to do? And then you can teleport your warrior guy so that he can actually melee these people. And they're like, oh no, teleport back. There's too many of them. So then you teleport back. And then...
nice sound effect.
Thank you. And then, so after you kill a few more guys this way, it zooms out. And then you're like, destroy the enemy castle! And I was like, huh? And then at the bottom of your screen, you have different types of ammo. Because at first you were just doing like basically spearheads. Choo, choo, choo.
Okay.
Or arrows or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then there was this one that was like a little apple. And I was like, apple? And then I hit the button and then A is flashing on my screen. I'm like, what? I hit A and then it explodes. It's like, oh, I see. So, you know, so you get, there's three different types of ammo to start with. There's the apple that you can explode on contact. There's
nice Firefly reference, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And then there's one where I forget what, you shoot it out and then you hit A and then it explodes into several more other trajectory projectiles.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then a final one where it's just a kind of a more heavy duty single punch through sort of thing.
Mm.
But again, it's very much like Angry Birds in that there's a structure that you shoot things at and then it sort of collapses, you know, with the physics and all that. Huh. Really, the big difference is that with Angry Birds, you only get so many shots.
Yeah.
Whereas with these ones, they're on timers. So you use it, and then, like,
okay,
the little arrowheads, like, it takes them very short time to regenerate, and then you can just do it again. But then with the more heavy-duty ones, they take longer to regenerate, that you can use them.
Okay. And are you being attacked as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. In just the trial stage, you just have the guys and other archers that will come out of the castle, and then they'll just slowly start walking towards you, and you can deal with them. But it does look like in later levels that the castle will also be shooting stuff at you.
Okay.
So
Could be interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean it's pretty cool if you like the Angry Birds thing and you like a sort of more fantasy... sorry, I'm being distracted over here by Jason. Actually taking video of my hands. Ah. But yeah, so I mean, if you like the Angry Birds with a little bit more of a fantasy twist and a little bit of humor to your dialogue, you know, check it out if you are so inclined.
Nice.
And it's not an expensive game either.
Cool. All right, that was Castle Storm. We now move on to State of Decay. Caleb.
Birds to zombies.
Jason.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about State of Decay.
There's a lot of decay going on.
And it's an estate.
I think it was a state.
It's probably
a state park.
It is an estate true. Park. That's where you start out, at least.
True.
It's another zombie game, in case the title didn't give that away.
Open worldy.
Yeah, it's like if you were just put a Grand Theft Auto in a into a zombie world, it would be something kind of like this.
Yeah.
No.
It's not really high end on the graphical detail, but it's not made as a packaged up, you get a CD type of game either. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that said, I was actually pretty impressed with what they were doing. It has some interesting mechanics and stuff like that. I couldn't quite pull off the instant kill of the zombie, but it still was interesting to you know, like they gave you, you know, you can be either running, sprinting, or crouched and hiding.
It's cool too, at least in mine. I don't know. It gives you a friend, and you're helping each other out, which is kind of slick too.
Could you figure out how to swap items between people?
How many people did you get? Did you get the girl later on? Okay. You have to do it through the containers at a base.
Okay, that's what I was afraid of. That was something that I did not like, because I'd have a character that was full. She'd check, you'd go up to certain things, you'd hold down the Y button, because what they would do is, like, you'd find things that you could search, like at campsites or buildings or whatever. You go up to it and you search. You have the option to search through it really fast, but then you make a lot of noise, so it might draw zombies, or you can
which
just regular
a nice
search.
Twist.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then I was kind of wondering, too, if, like, while you're doing that, like, oh, if I get attacked, I wonder if my AI companions are going to, you know, kind of watch me.
Right.
And they did. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, going back to, so I'd open up a thing. I'd find some stuff in there, but my backpack was full. So
it
was like, okay, but I know this other guy, his backpack isn't full. But if I could just, like, go up to that guy and, like, if there was a prompt, you know, a button that I could just swap instead of, like, having to jump into that guy and then make them go over and grab this thing. Like, it.
Yeah.
I wish there was an easier way to swap items.
Yeah, I
maybe
the one thing that I will say is, in sort of defense, is they kind of treat it like you're as a group, but you're also sort of rival leaders in a weird sort of way.
Yeah.
Because you build up the characters one by one, which allows you to have somebody concentrate on guns, somebody concentrate on wrestling the zombies, and all of that sort of stuff. But they all have their own leadership rating, too. So it's kind of in your best, well, whatever, to build up and leader that way.
And then you can gain influence by, like, dropping stuff off into, like, the supply
by helping out
and helping out,
which
and stuff
is
like that, which is that's a cool little feature,
right?
Like,
and that actually gets into what I thought was the most interesting part of the game, was it's a community game, which you don't really get into in a lot of these sort of open world games.
Yeah,
it's about building a safe haven and trying to make it so people trust you. And you gain that influence so that you can make important decisions, like building a medical tent or something like that, which they wouldn't listen to you otherwise, which is a really interesting twist for something like this, instead of just concentrating on
fighting zombies,
beating hookers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Reference to
GTA.
Yeah. not saying that's something Jason does in his off time or something. Just to make sure.
Yes,
so people
thank
aren't
you
like,
for that.
What?
I mean,
they're just tuning in.
It's
Did
still
just
fun,
say,
but.
Okay, so, yeah.
State of Decay.
State of Decay, yes.
It's an interesting mechanic, I think, making it more of also more of a team. Like, the goal is to have everyone survive.
Yeah.
And it because like a lot of these types, it's like it's you survive and hopefully whoever you're with maybe survives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's like the goal of the game is for to really get everyone through it. I think that's kind of
which is kind of cool. It packs some punch when somebody doesn't, because you've spent some time like trying to
make it work,
keep them around, and they've helped you out and stuff like that. But at the same time, there is kind of a weakness, is that it's not a really high rent game, and so there are some swings and misses as far as the voice acting goes.
Yeah, some of the dialogue is not the greatest.
Right. The dialogue does move kind of a story forward too, so that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is definitely an interesting story that builds as you play. Like at first, when you start out kind of just in that camp, like sort of area, I was like, this is kind of neat, but as it like the story moved
on,
where's
the beef?
And the world started to open up more, and I realized I could get in the cars and drive and stuff like that. Then, you know, I was like, what's going on? Okay, this is a little more interesting. Like,
yeah. It's got a lot of potential, I think, is the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed a few glitches here and there. I see some zombies sort of like sticking half inside a wall, half outside the wall.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, stuff like that. But
clipping errors are...
Yeah. Go ahead.
I just... I hit a random one the other day playing Assassin's Creed 2. I fell all the way through Florence into the water underneath, and I was like looking up at everything. I'm like, oh, this is weird. Anyways,
yeah. yeah, I know that there was mention of possibly in a future update adding co-op or multiplayer or something like that to it. And I know there's the developers. Sort of goal is if this game does well enough that they want to turn it into like an MMO, like a bigger scale MMO one.
Okay. I was wondering about that because
I could see it working that way.
And prepare to take your shots here. Ever since the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer came out, I've kind of wondered if it would turn into a bigger thing to kind of build up games slowly from really small spot, just to see if like it flies and so on, and to develop your tech for free, effectively. Well, not free, but
for cheap.
But yeah, instead of having like setting up these weird little closed communities and turning it into an actual gameplay community. And since it is a Microsoft sub studio, it really made me wonder if it was that sort of play, since it's been EA that's been doing this in a lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Microsoft and EA are kind of big guys. they can play this game and see what happens.
Especially Microsoft, they got enough successes, enough things that are bringing money in hand over fist, that they can let a little bit of it out to these little ventures where it's like, well, let's see what happens here.
Yep. Yeah. Sorry. Also, like, it has the element of the weapons that you pick up, like, they degrade after a while and will break. So, you know, you might find some really cool bat with nails in it or a hatchet or something like that. But
the more you use it.
Yeah, the more you use it, it will disappear and break. So it's got that element to it. But, yeah, I would agree overall. Pretty solid game and like fun.
Yeah. Not as polished as The Last of Us, but it doesn't look like it was aiming to be that.
Yeah.
So,
ironic choice of time to throw that out, too. I know this is probably not going to matter all that much to a lot of people, but I think probably my favorite thing in the entire game is that the icon for the game is like kind of a traditional American eagle sort of thing, and it has like a hatchet and I think like a bat in the other claw. But the coolest thing about it is that the little cutouts for how the wings arc up and the tail feathers end up looking like a skull. That's the slickest thing.
That's cool.
That's pretty clever. I'll definitely give him that.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently it has a lot of little Easter eggs in it, too. I've noticed some pictures. Someone showed a shot of a bunch of sunflower. Like, they were right next to a porch of a house. There was a bunch of sunflowers, and right behind it were, like, two or three lawnmowers. So, little shout out to Plants vs. Zombies right
there.
Nice. So yeah, that was State of Decay. That's going to wrap up our game discussion portion of the show. take another quick music break and then come back with the core.
The core.
Which Jen has provided our topic for this week. So why don't you, just in case some folks are joining now.
All right. We're talking about games that are primarily single player. We're going to go around, tell you what our favorites are. And we're keeping it relatively recent in the past 5 years.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you definitely want to stick around for that. All right. We'll be back after this music break. We are Robots Attack.
Want to listen to KSCU even when you are not near a radio? Stream us whenever you want at www.kscu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound.
You are now entering the core.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KCU Santa Clara. We are now in the core. Jen, you have provided us with our topic this week, so it is only fitting that you start us off.
All right, so I'm going to go with my first choice was...
Well, what is the topic real quick?
Yes. The topic was our favorite primarily single-player games of the past 5 years or so.
All right.
Okay, because there's a lot of multiplayer going on, so we thought we'd throw a bone to the primarily single players out there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the single players.
Nice.
So, all right. So, I know this game had mixed reviews, but I really, really enjoyed it, and I go back to it every now and again. I am going to go with Wolverine Origins.
Surprisingly fun game.
Yeah, and I like going out there and, you know, beating the crap out of guys and just feeling like, oh, I'm such a... Oh, I can't say that word on time. I'm a bad donkey.
Exactly. Poor donkey.
Exactly.
Schnicked.
But exactly. I mean, it's just nice to go out there and kick some butt and be like, oh man, I am so good at this. Look at me. I'm awesome.
And track enemies by their scent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's good, you know, it's pretty solid. You can always go back, put it up a harder mode, you know, and it's always a challenge if you want it to be, or you can just kind of breeze through it if that's kind of what you're looking for too. But yeah, so that's my choice.
Right on. Solid choice. Who's next?
Nice. Oh, I think you.
I'm next. Yay! All right. Well, mine's going to be part of our...
Just because you asked him.
That's fine.
Easier to...
mm-hmm. Part of our now infamous drinking game, Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Which one specifically? You can't just say the entire series.
No.
No, shenanigans.
You can.
The whole thing's one continuous story.
And that's the exact reason why I changed this from one game to three, because I thought there's a good shot we're all going to, well, except for Jen, we're all going to pick Mass Effect.
At least one of us is,
yeah.
For sure.
So it'll be a...
I'm so scratching it off my list right now.
But continue.
Jen can verify.
Yeah, it is now scratched off. His was number two, by the way. Mass Effect 2.
Yeah. Solid choice. Definitely solid choice. That series, that storyline, that game genre is, it was really, really good. It was compelling storytelling, compelling characters. It was
except for that ending.
Yeah, maybe you. I loved every moment of that 70-some-odd hour movie. It was amazing. Actually, you know, I want to do it again sometime soon, like beginning to end.
Yeah.
Marathon.
Yeah.
All right, Jason.
Okay, I'm gonna jump directly to a controversial one.
Oh.
Maybe not, but I mean.
Oh.
Just as far as a completely original feel in a game, and mm-hmm. I still thought it had a really kind of neat story to it and whatnot, if you did manage to get through it all, I like Mirror's Edge a lot.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's a good choice.
It's I think it's a genre that should be built on quite a bit more, and I know a lot of people hate that genre with a passion, even though I think the entire genre is like two games now.
But, yeah.
Like, but what, still. That one in Brink?
Yeah, that one in Brink is pretty much it. And by the way, Brink is now only 400 points on Microsoft.
Hmm. Great. Edit that out.
What? It's not a real...
It's inexpensive. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It's very inexpensive.
And there's been teasings of Mirror's Edge 2.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that would be really cool.
There's nothing so far of like, you know, yes, there is, but there's a lot of... There's little things popping up here and there.
Okay.
I would like to see Hope Return. That would be awesome.
It's kind of interesting because it's also like a... well, and it's one of your horrible Hunger Games type futures. But it's also like incredibly shiny and bright, like, yay, skyscrapers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun playing sort of the rebel movement trying to scrape your way through tons and tons of people with guns.
Very large guns.
And it's really fun, at least to me, trying to get through all of that without actually using a gun at all, because honestly, as soon as I started using guns, it became boring. Because I'm so awesome with guns.
There you go.
But it also fits more with the character, and it's just a really solid, original type of game, and I wish they'd do it more.
Yeah, maybe when the Frostbite Engine 4 drops, they'll release, do something with that.
Never gonna happen, but.
Yeah, like I said, maybe E3, they might make it official that Mirror's Edge 2, who knows.
E3 is all full of mystery and wonder and game announcements. Lots and lots of game announcements.
Lots.
So, Joe?
Okay, so I guess, let's see. I will mention this game that... You can play it co-op, but I played it the first time through single player, and I can play it solo and still enjoy the hell out of it. Borderlands 2.
Mm-hmm.
I can second that motion as well.
It never stops being fun.
I know.
There's so many little nooks and crannies to that game that will make you smile.
Yeah.
Unless you have a completely cold or overly sensitive heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to have a certain amount of vindictive joy at times, but...
Yeah, there's just so many, like, just even little... I mean, the voice acting in that game is so good.
Not a speck of bad voice acting in the entire game.
Yeah. There's just so many random, like, little lines that... I've like completely forgotten about, and I'll hear him again just playing through, you know, randomly, and just like try dropping to do some Outrider now. I was just like, oh man, I totally forgot about him. It's Zed. Oh, it's just classic. It's just like, it's just little stuff like that, that like, you know, beyond, you know, it's yeah, just comparing it from the first one to the second one. And I enjoyed the first one well enough, but for me, 2 like blows it out of the water. So yeah, Borderlands 2.
Excellent choice.
Good deal.
I look forward to playing with Tiny Tina.
Yes.
The end of this month.
That's going to be awesome.
Not as her, but playing with her and enjoying her imaginary storytelling abilities.
She's going to be the DM or GM.
Yeah, and I haven't finished my first playthrough, but it is quite possible that it will make it on this list for me.
Nice. No, it's not going to happen. You're not going to actually finish it.
I will too.
So what is your next one?
My next one is it seems like I go back to it almost every time, like to cleanse my palate in a way. Like, oh, I'm done with this game and I go back to this one. I had a friend of mine who sent me a message going like, get a real game already. It is Dead
Was that
Rising
Jason or no?
2. No, it was my friend James. No, Dead Rising 2. Which is so much better than the first one. Yeah, and we dubbed the first one Frustration Rising because it was just such a pain in the butt. But this one, I mean, it's still got challenge to it, but you can definitely feel a lot more accomplished, Whereas the other one just felt like you were sort of beating your head against the wall going, ah, ah, ah.
That and the controls were the camera and the controls were always seemed like they were against you in the original Dead Rising.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like they put more emphasis in trying to actually care about some of the characters too. So that's a nice twist.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this one you sort of have the hook of the main character's daughter. It's like, oh my goodness, I actually care about her because she's a little girl. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's also the difference between the two main characters. I mean, it's like, you know, like there's a bad guy who's like, you know, given the main guy a bad time. And Chuck in the second one, he's just, you know, he's got like these cheesy one-liners, you know, and he's like a total action hero. Whereas the first one, it's like, oh man, if Tom, I don't even remember now. The guy from the first one, if you put him in this situation, he would just be whining. He would just be like, why are you doing this to me? What's going on?
The photographer guy?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
For Frank, all of you anime people, you'd go totally Shinji Ikari.
Yeah, whereas Chuck, he's totally the action hero. He's just like, you know, I see what you did. Oh, that's right. Like some guy falls on a saw and he's like, I saw what you did there. It's like, oh.
That's bad, but good. At the same time.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun.
I'm totally not smiling right now.
Yeah, right.
And it's sort of along with my first choice. You know, it's another one where you just go along and you can kick the crap out of zombies and it makes you feel good.
Did you play, I think it's Case Zero?
I did.
The little arcade? Okay.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was a good sort of introduction to what the game was going to be like.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was cool.
Give you a little taste.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. What's next? Who's got the next one?
I do, and I am going to go into the sci-fi with Dead Space.
Ooh.
One?
Two, one.
Three?
I'll go with two. Cause that's
the non-existent four? Or five?
I only played the demo of three, but two I thought was a nice evolvement of the game.
So two?
Two, yeah. Okay. I liked the gameplay in two a lot, and the extra characters were nice, but the main thing about the Dead Space games that they get so fantastically right is the environment. Like, there's spooky. Like, it has this level of spooky and scary that one, it does not relent, and two, it's never so much that you feel like it's trying to beat you over the head with it, but it's always this oppressive feel of the game, like just like that, like, you know, whatever it is about this world that you're in, you know that it exists to try and to break your will, and it's almost like this triumph every time you succeed and not letting it break you. It's just it's plus, really cool.
Plus they were smart enough in that one to actually mess with you, like give long stretches of time where nothing is attacking you, just so it builds up so much tension that you could shatter when something actually does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's in terms of like single player gameplay, like in terms of, and also get back to storytelling and environment, like there, it's has very few that I can compare it to. Like Mass Effect's like the one that I started like looking at in terms of like what it, how well it's constructed as a narrative and a game experience. I mean, obviously they're not quite the same scale, but like,
yeah,
they hit the to me, they have I enjoy them both in a very similar sort of way.
The world that Dead Space inhabits, you enjoy.
Yeah. Despite the fact that it creeps me the heck out.
Yeah.
I actually sort of enjoy being in it.
Yeah, that was also on my list, but I'm marking it off since it's uncovered.
You can second. It's okay.
I have plenty here, so okay. Don't feel bad for me.
Well, before we get to your next one.
I have a PSA to read. A PSA, I'm sorry. Public service announcement.
Do you
are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share your stories with your network of friends. It's easy, so come join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
Okay, so the one thing that I will wrap up with the Dead Space thing is just, I agree with the Dead Space 2 thing from one perspective. Mm-hmm. I haven't completely finished 3 yet, and so it may completely stop this thinking in my mind. But right now, I don't have the push to finish Dead Space 3 as much as Dead Space 2 got in my blood. Like, I needed to finish every single scene and push forward and forward and forward in that one.
Uh-huh.
And 3 isn't doing that for me for whatever reason. Hmm. I still really like all of the environments. I like that they threw in the extra characters. I was actually really scared of that at first. I thought it would make it less scary.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was scared of it. Anyway. But yeah, they did a really good job on it. It's just, it doesn't pull me in as much as the Dead Space 2 did.
So what game does?
Yeah.
BioShock. The original BioShock.
Nice.
It was sort of the same sort of deal. It kept me going through the entire thing. I even cranked up the hardness on it, which is punishing in that game. And it was still really well worth trying to get to the next plot point and figure out what the heck was going on in this twisted world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can definitely second that one. That was on my list as well. Like, that game was... The game is... I haven't finished it yet. I'm still...
It's just weird because it's like, well, a current-gen thing, but it's been around for so long now, it seems like... Something should have beaten it, and nothing really has kind of knocked it off of its pedestal, at least in that sort of genre, which is weird too, because they've thrown tons of money at the sequels for it, and still never quite came up to the same level of quality.
Yeah,
because it shows what happens when you have one really good idea that you follow really well.
Yep.
So how about you? What's your next pick, Joe?
Well, let's see. I had Mass Effect as well on there, but you know,
surprise,
huge shock. Yeah. I'm gonna go with Fallout 3.
Ooh.
I don't remember a lot of the story, little bits in here and there. But for me, mostly it was just the setting, the post-apocalyptic setting.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun, and it was just cool to just explore the hell out of the East Coast. And DC and stuff like that, and the random people you'd meet, the gear you'd find, the using the VAT system was so much fun. Just watching people's like heads explode in slow mo with like a BB gun or something.
It really
like
shouldn't be fun, but
yeah, that's on my list.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one.
All right. Do we have time to go around one more, or
I think if we do it quick,
Okay. Let's see. So
no peeking at mine.
I'm sure nobody else has this one on their list anyway. I'm going with Lego Pirates because I'm a sucker for those movies.
Wait, what?
I know. But I mean, the Lego games are always fun. I've heard the last few have been glitchy, but I haven't played the last few, so it's all good. but I always like how the little characters do their own little renditions of the scenes without any words, which is always cool.
That's fun about those.
Yeah, Lego and they're games. Just addicting little games, and I really like the Pirates movies. So I was just all over this. I squeed so hard when I heard it was coming out. So.
Did it include the latest one?
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. Oh, yeah,
okay.
It did.
Oh, okay. I forget what it's called.
On Stranger Tides.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so it had that one?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Because, yeah, some of the Lego games, though, like, when they come out, like, they'll miss.
The Harry Potter one, like, they had, like, three or four of them.
They split that one into two.
Yeah, well, there was, like, eight levels or something.
Mm-hmm.
Eight movies to cover, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was
took a little time.
Yeah, so that one was a lot of fun. All right, Caleb?
Cool.
I'm going with Assassin's Creed 2. Assassin's Creed 1 was a lot
of fun. But you haven't finished it yet.
I haven't finished it yet, and that's how good, that's how much I like this game. Assassin's Creed 1 was excellent. Assassin's Creed 2 took the concepts and made it a really good game.
Yeah.
First one
was kind of a, like, here's a nice tech demo.
Yeah. That has a decent enough game that you get through it. But 2, it's like, yes, this is a good game. And it's something that I enjoy because, like, the pacing of it is so different than almost all the other games that I have, that it's kind of refreshing to play it because it is such a departure from everything else. It's not first person. It's not Twitch trigger action.
Mm.
It's not super plot heavy. You can just wander around the city, like walking around if you feel so inclined. It's just really nice that way. Rewarding as a game, rewarding as just an experience of the world.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, going from one to that one, like, whoa, this is, yes.
Yes.
I love Ezio. He's so cool.
This is what that game was supposed to be.
Yeah. All right, next.
Bastion.
Ah.
Okay. The artist in me, as Jen would say, and I probably would never say, squeed. Yeah, they came up with such a clever way to make a really fun game that is so limited. Mm-hmm. I know that makes it sound horrible, but they took that blocky, kind of lame, in my view, way that games always were made of just having a single pre-rendered and endlessly copied little picture to mm-hmm. make up maps, and they put tons and tons of handcrafted painting detail into every single one of them and then just started piling them on top of each other. So it ends up making this game that it's really not all that different than any other top-down hack and slash game
mm-hmm.
into something really artistic and beautiful. And yeah, it still just kind of blows my mind. And it went beyond that into a really solid gameplay with nice expansion of the character, of the weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just really solid game.
You realize, though, now that at some point I'm going to have to ask you to squee for me.
No.
Joe?
Oh, before I go into mine, are you excited for Transistor?
I am. I'm excited and scared at the same time. That game has so much potential. It's a really interesting gameplay mechanic, but yeah, I still have it stuck in my head, some of the other games that they've tried to do that are music-based that I had really high hopes for and didn't really work out. So yeah, I think it's going to turn out really cool, and it has a really neat style to it that's, in my view, like an Apple Store version of a throwback of, like, the old game Flashback or something like that.
Okay.
All right. Okay, I will wrap us up with Red Dead Redemption.
Ah.
This one also sort of similar to Fallout 3. The story was all right. I didn't think it was told terribly well, but it was just the world. That game took place in is just was so cool. Just getting on your horse, riding around, and seeing like the sunset in the background, and then like the train going by, and it was just such a cool visual. It was just like, ah, I love this. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for westerns, so
right.
But yeah, this was just awesome. Just to ride by, and then you'll see like random people at campsites or something when there's like a shootout going on or somebody's robbing this, and you hear somebody screaming like help, 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 and you can stop and help them, or you can just ride on by. And it was just the atmosphere of all of it, and then adding the whole little Undead Nightmare campaign that was like totally separate to it, but
mm-hmm.
just a fun twist on it was awesome as well. But yeah, I would say Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, they need way more games in that sort of space, it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Red Dead and Call of Juarez are about the only ones that have done that have been successful at it.
Yeah. Which you think, like, mm-hmm. it's sort of ripe for...
Yeah. I mean, I guess stuff, depending on how you look at it, you could sort of say Borderlands is kind of a sci-fi western, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you play a mostly Jacob's kit.
Yeah. Well, it makes me wonder, like, are the kids not into westerns at all anymore? Is that really what's kind of screwing it up?
The western as a genre hasn't been exceedingly popular for a while now.
Yeah, there really hasn't been much different like stories told in it. It's always kind mm-hmm. of the same
right
thing. So, you know,
they're redoing old movies and not really quite living up to them in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
what about Aliens versus Cowboys or whatever that was?
we'll leave that one right better. There.
Yeah. All right. That's going to wrap us up unless anyone wants to mention any others?
I would like to give a honorable mention to the new Tomb Raider. I only played a section of it, but
then you can't put it out. No, yeah.
that little section was enough of a taste. I'm like, this game is excellent.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I rented it for one day, and I've been kind of chomping at the bit to get back at it ever since, because it's an incredibly well-crafted game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it was going to be on my list, but it got knocked off for a few others. Yeah,
it's so I say honorable mention. It's also nice to see that there is still a lot of thought and effort being put into crafting high-end single-player games with the advent of so much multiplayer gaming out there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it does have multiplayer, but yeah, I
it's optional.
Yeah, really cheap to download right now on Xbox, so check it out if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, that's gonna do it for Robots Attack this week. Tune in next week. We're here every Thursday from 7 to 9. Hope you enjoyed the show. Coming up next, the Pre-Funk Show. Stick around for that.
Yeah.
And yeah, we want to wish you all a great weekend and enjoy the warm weather. Supposedly Saturday is going to be a hot one, so plan for that accordingly. All right. On behalf of myself, Caleb, Jen, Jason, thank you for listening, and we are out of here.
Raccoon. Veronica. Misto.